coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Hagman, welcome to the Hagman Report for today. It's Wednesday, the 24th day of June 2020. If we all had 2020 vision, right? Well, we do, right? We have it in 2020. I want to welcome you to today's program. We have a good show lined up for you, as always. I want to thank you so much to the people out there who support this broadcast. Thank you so very much. This is the only way we operate is through your support. You know, it was interesting because I was looking at the corporate sponsorship, and because of the shutdowns or the any corporate sponsorship that was there is no longer there. And when I say corporate sponsorship, hand selected, they make no demands upon any content restrictions or whatever. So, but even that's gone. It's gone, except save two, perhaps. Once in a while, but nonetheless. So it's your support that guides us through, as well as your purchases of our coffee. HagmanStore.com. There you can buy our coffee. And of course, we send a significant amount of the proceeds to assist in the fight against child and human sex trafficking. Share it among groups. Two groups. Vets for Child Rescue, Craig Sawyer, and Shatter the Darkness, Russ Dizdar. And, you know, we do assist, by the way, in boots on the ground investigations with this, with respect to Russ's organization. I'd like to thank him and thank his organization for doing such a great job. But there on your screen, if you go to HagmanStore.com, hey, there's three different blends and three different kinds or three different styles of coffee. You've got the whole bean, you've got the ground, and you have K-cups. And the three different blends are Detective's Choice, hypercaffeinated. That's good if you want to get to the truth of a matter and you need that extra boost, or if you're a parent of a teenager. And then we have, of course, for Patriots, Patriot Blend as well as Revolution Blend. So thank you so much, Eric, for all of your help in design. Oh, by the way, mugs too. Get your mugs here. I need the bean. That's a pretty cool mug. I have that. Well, I've got both, actually. And then King Mascot mug as well. That's a throwback to our old logo with King on it. Goodness, what a great talk. All right, so much to get into. I'm going to hit a couple of things and then go into something and then come back. So bear with me. No, I don't have ADHD. Okay, so look, there's been some talk about this noose at NASCAR, and oh my goodness, a noose found in the garage. It was cut down. You know, what do you even say about this? It was a garage door pull. It had a loop on it. That's what it was. NASCAR hate hoaxer Bubba Wallace doubles down, still says, no. This was a noose. Yet there were images too. If you dig down deep into this, folks, if you dig down deep into this, you'll see that that's been there for a while. And the other garages, and I'm using the improper terminology, but the other garages have the same type of door pulls. It's, again, the exploitation of this. This is being exploited. But here's the thing. It's not an organic exploitation. It is not a spontaneous exploitation. Now, I'm not specifically talking about that. Okay, there's the noose, by the way, on your screen. If you're watching this, there is the noose. You can see it, right? Yeah, see it?
Looks like something to grab.
Yeah.
To pull the door down.
Wow, no. You see how we're all being played? We're being played as fools. And it's amazing how many people actually are backing this. Well, no, it's a noose. No. Then the, I have an acquaintance who is a police officer, retired, who sent me a picture of those things, the four, you know, we used to change tires, or you change tires and those four, Eric the Tech, what do you call those things? It's got four lug wrenches on it. It's shaped like an X or a cross, perhaps. And you know what I'm talking about, to change your tire. Take the lugs
tire
off.
Iron?
Yeah, tire iron. But it's shaped in, oh, never mind. Anyway, he sent that to me. Says, and the caption was, burnt cross left in Bubba Wallace's garage, and shows that tire iron. You know, so anyway. Interestingly enough, we have armed communist revolutionaries overtaking the area surrounding Wendy's, you know, the Wendy's that burnt down in Atlanta, where Rashard Brooks attacked the police officer. All right. And in association with that, you also have a retired Air Force general. This is important now, saying that foreign countries have infected U.S. protests, so they're fair game for the U.S. military. Now, he's lucky he's retired. Is it active? No, of course not. But he brings up a good point. At what point do we declare these rioters, these looters, these individuals who are out there attempting to take us down, at what point do we declare them really enemy combatants? Isn't it about time we do that? And this, of course, if you go to cbnnews.com, there it is right there on your screen. You're going to find out that former Marine, the story's in there about the fact that President Trump threatening to use active duty military troops to quell violent protests after the wrongful death of George Floyd is really rooted in law, in terms of this infectious infiltration of these rioters. They're not protesters. They're rioters. And you know what's kind of interesting? Very, very quickly, I'm seeing some indications that, yeah, maybe Soros and company, including Hillary, are starting to feel the heat on this. Things aren't going the way they plan necessarily. Now, after the weekend of violence up there in Chaz, the Seattle mayor decided, well, you know, Jenny decided, maybe we should just take this down, get rid of this occupied zone. Good thinking. I guess, you know, once the bodies start piling up like cordwood, that's what happens. Actually, there is, I think, one dead, a rape, maybe two, some assaults, you know. There it is. One more thing. Before I get to, I want to get to this really quick as well, but Judicial Watch, folks, have you seen this? This is huge. You know, for all of the heat people like Steve Quayle have been taking and others have been taking, Judicial Watch obtained records, and God bless that. God bless them. Judicial Watch obtains records showing that the FDA, now listen to this, and you can see it on your screen, paid for fresh and never frozen human fetal parts for use in humanized mice creation. Now, just let that sink in, that headline alone. Read it. Go ahead and read it. Read it. Talk amongst yourselves. Read this. 165 pages of records from the FDA shows that between 2012 and 2018, the FDA entered into 8 contracts worth just south of $100,000 with Advanced Bioscience Resources. And what they were doing is they were working to acquire fresh and never frozen tissue from first and second trimester aborted fetuses for use in creating humanized mice. What in the hell, and I mean that literally, is a humanized mouse? Read the article at Judicial Watch, judicialwatch.org, very simply. All right. One thing that Eric the Tech and I have been doing, but Eric the Tech primarily has been doing, we've been doing a lot of research, or Eric the Tech has, and I've been doing my fair share as well, but of connecting some dots. And here's an issue. Obviously, March 13th of this year saw essentially the shutdown of the United States, of our economy. That was the day, I suppose. If you were to pick a day, that would be the day. And that's when different governors got, you know, especially in blue states, that you can't do this. You got to shelter in place in your house, and you got to wear masks, and on and on and on. And this supposedly is a result of the coronavirus, or as it's called by the Epoch Times, the Communist Chinese Party virus. And that's aptly so. Let me digress for a moment. You remember President Trump calling this the Kung Flu? Kung Flu. Remember the discussion about Kung Flu? Oh, how racist is that? Kung Flu. I think social media banned the use of Kung Flu. Gateway Pundit. Hat tip to the Gateway Pundit. Guess what?
Everybody was Kung Flu fighting.
Obama, 2015. Obama, VA in 2015. Become a Kung Flu fighter. Get your flu shot. And writes the Gateway Pundit, Kristen Taylor. Well, this is embarrassing for the media and for the Democrats. After being attacked for as racist for using the jocular term Kung Flu for COVID-19. Turns out President Trump is not the first government to use that term. Mm-mm. The Obama regime used the term Kung Flu in September of 2015 for a Veterans Affairs campaign promoting flu shots. Need I go on? But because President Trump, or because of the Trump administration said it, it's racist. Needs to be banned. Okay. Now I'm going to pull back from my digression. Had to get that out there, though. Let me ask you this. When this all started, it could be something. Probably was something. Certainly man-made. I mean, I believe that the proven science has sufficiently provided that this is something that was man-made or tweaked in the laboratory. But for what purpose? Was it to kill? If so, man, it really a sucky job at that, right? Because when you look at the numbers, and I'm looking at some of the numbers right now, this, according to Stanford, median infection rate for people under 70 is just 0.04%. Okay, that's not 4%. That's not 0.4%. That's 0.04%. The average is 0.26%. That's where it is now. But yet again, Kung Flu, racist. Oh, by the way, Fauci climbing on the bandwagon saying, you call this the Tricon virus. That's racist as well. Garden gnome. So what's this all about? If in fact this was man-made. And I would stipulate that it is, that the evidence, the preponderance of evidence, at least the open source information that we have, suggests it's man-made. To what end? If it's a bioweapon, it's kind of a sucky one in terms of the fatality rate. But did it do what it was designed to do? You know, when you are engaged in lawfare, and look at Alex Jones, for example. He's, I don't know how many lawsuits he's had. But what happens, and I'm using Alex Jones now in InfoWars, who I consider a friend, okay? I'm using him as an example. I want to be clear on this. I'm using him as an example. When he was sued, and he gets sued, there are things that happen. It could be a suit that has no merit whatsoever. But I'll tell you what he has to do in the case of Alex Jones. He's got to get a lawyer, get a legal team, divert monetary resources to that legal team, answer all of the questions and be available for that legal team to answer the complaint against them, be available for meetings, legal, maneuvering and all that, assisting the attorneys. What has that accomplished? Even if it has no merit whatsoever, what has that accomplished? It's a diversion of resources. It's sucking out resources. It's in addition to the monetary smack, the diversion of attention, of all of that, the stress, believe me. So somebody, let's say, sues InfoWars with no expectation of winning, and they lose. Do they really lose, or did they accomplish their objective? I'm using that as an example here with respect to the coronavirus, because you could have a situation where, yeah, you don't expect it to kill, but boy, does it really screw things up. Look what happened. I mean, how many businesses are done because of this? But there's another part to this too. The surveillance aspect of this. Eric the Tech, if you have an iPhone and you upgrade your firmware on your iPhone, now I know some people are saying, huh? You know how you have updates, right? Guess what comes with the firmware update? That's right. Built into the firmware of an Apple iPhone is the framework for the COVID-19 exposure logging. And Eric the Tech, if I improperly say anything improper on this, please correct me.
So far you got it.
All right. So you, because kind of like your computer, if you update your computer, there's certain updates that you have to have, bam, there it is. Well, you update your phone. Within the firmware update of your phone, there is this.
Both Apple and Android.
Both Apple and Android. Thank you.
They're partners now.
Okay. And yeah, I was going to get to that. So, but thank you for saying that, because you actually will update your phone, and this is part of it, part of the firmware, this COVID-19 exposure logging. Now it's defaulted to off. Okay. But, and you can read on the screen here, this is an actual screenshot. You cannot turn on exposure logging without an authorized app installed that can send exposure notifications. So it's a two-step process. You turn on exposure, or you download the app that interfaces with this firmware update, and then you click on exposure logging. Am I good so far, Eric the Tech?
Doing good.
Okay. Bottom line, when enabled, the iPhone can exchange random IDs with other devices using Bluetooth, as you read on the screen. And I'll spare you the reading of the rest. You can see this for yourself. In fact, if you have an iPhone or an Android, you're going to see something very similar or exactly like this. Now, Eric the Tech, in drilling down on this, brought me this yesterday. And he said, please read this. This is about a 40-some page document. It is under the logo of both Google and Apple. There it is right there. Privacy preserving contact tracing. Again, you're looking at 40-some pages. And this is a partnership between Apple and Google. And according to Eric the Tech, that's like, would you say that's like the Red Sox? I mean, you used a sports metaphor. I don't know.
That's like the Red Sox and Yankees.
Okay. I guess that means
using
something.
Players from each team for different games.
All right. So that means something here. And of course, these 40 pages plus of instructions and insurances and FAQ, you know, frequently asked questions and such, you know, explaining how this all works. Oh, this is all voluntary and this is all for your benefit. And you're going to be notified if you were in contact with somebody with the coronavirus. And oh, you know, we've got your back and, pat on the head and we're going to take good care of you folks. This is the surveillance apparatus. And as Eric the Tech said yesterday, when we were going over this, you said, you know, this is China. This is China right here. And feel free to chime in. I mean, think about the implications, folks, of this. This is really one step closer to, oh, I don't know. Eric, what would you say? The credit score? I mean, total surveillance 24/7.
Yeah, that's how China runs.
Okay.
Their phones are their lives. Everything is on their phone. Their track, their IDs, everything. That's where we're headed.
Okay. So here's what I'd like the listening audience, if you don't mind, participate in one thing. You know that Eric the Tech, myself, we are involved, deeply involved in the deep, granular level research into what is really taking place here behind the scenes. We have not received any, what we're lacking is the Android screenshot. And Eric the Tech, I ask you again to chime in here. And what should people send us? So from the technical end, you can look at this.
I'd say anything that with new updates and stuff, anything they see that's fishy that pertains to this issue, just take a screenshot on your phone and then email it to us right from your phone.
Okay. All right. So do that and send it to studio@HagmanReport.com. Two N's on Hagman. That's studio@HagmanReport.com. The reason, of course, again, so we can, and we're not going to use your private information, promise you, we're not going to use your private information. The reason we're doing this is of course, to find out exactly where, in the mechanics of the surveillance, dig a little bit deeper into the mechanics of the surveillance. So that's what we're doing. And I could go through, and at some point I think I will, maybe either in written form or by way of a separate video, go through this, the exposure notifications and such. The reason this is important is because what you have here is a framework for 24/7 surveillance. And they're asking for your authorization. But in reality, they don't care if they have it or not. There's a level of implied consent there. It's just how much do you want to involve yourself in your own surveillance? That's where we're at. So what do you do?
And this is already being done behind the scenes.
Yes.
This has been built for a long time.
Yes. Yes, it has. And
I feel like when things like this are publicly released, it makes people think that it's safe and it's okay to do. And
yeah,
that's a good tactic that we've seen in other things. Just release it and, oh, this must be okay.
Right. And thank you for that because, again, you know more about the technical side of things than I do. If you don't keep up on this stuff, you lose it. You know, I mean, I took a internet, class in terms of tracing, you know, computer forensics class, I guess is, would be termed back in 2000. It was 2000. No, yeah. Without keeping up with that, Yeah. You want to know how to track CompuServe emails or whatever, CompuServe message? Yeah, okay. I thought that would be a help to you today. All right. All right, so there's all of that. And so here's what we need to do, I think. I think we need to realize that we're past the point of any return, and I think that when we're dealing with cell phones, iPhones, Androids, you're exchanging convenience for your own privacy. So I know here in the studio, the iPhones get put into containers that act as Faraday cages. No iPhones here. I personally will not have an iPhone when I go to the store or travel. I personally will not. I'm just not going to do it. All right. Or if I have it, it's going to be in a Blockit Pocket or similar product.
When I have to get a hold of Doug, I call the office.
That's right.
The landline.
And if I don't answer, I'm not here.
Yeah. He's taking a snoozer or something.
That's right. I'm out to lunch. I'm out walking my dog, or you know what? I don't want to talk to you. It's not necessarily the latter. So.
And I grew up without cell phones.
Gee.
And we used to
survive?
Call landlines and say, meet here at this time. And it worked.
And you're here to tell us about it, right?
Yeah.
I remember, yeah, no seat belts riding in the, you know, the old Corvairs. Remember those Corvairs?
I'm not that old.
Yeah. The Corvairs. No seat belts, lap belts, optional. And, you know, you go out and you, without a helmet. And anyway, enough reminiscing. So, yeah, I'm older than dirt, apparently. All right. So, one more thing I want to get out of the way here. There are some newly released notes, Peter Strzok notes that implicate Barack Hussein Obama and Joseph Biden in the direct order of the surveillance of, and then the ultimately the prosecution of, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, and being the predicate, the facilitators of the investigation. You watch how this is going to come out and how this will be developed over the next several weeks. Now, does that mean we're going to see any perp walks like, you know, the hopium that's out there? No, no. In fact, I personally don't believe we're going to see anything like that. We may see, some low to mid-level people get caught up in an investigation. But for the upper tier level of individuals involved in this, I'm talking about the Brennans, people like, and including John Brennan, Comey. And you know the names. I don't believe we are going to have justice. And you know why we're not going to have justice? Because not enough people are demanding that we have justice. And you may say, well, that's not true. We're demanding it. Well, how are we demanding it? Are we demanding it with the same fervor, not tactics, but the same fervor as the paid agitators are to take down the statue in Lafayette Park of Andrew Jackson? No. Are we as Christian conservatives standing up and protecting our rights? I'm not seeing it. Coach Dave Dobemeyer, good friend. I mean, let me tell you something. He's volunteering to lead. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Hey, the murder mill, killing babies, unborn babies. Let's go. He looks around. Where is everyone? And you say, well, we got jobs. We have responsibilities. That's true. But at some point, I think that we have to become the 3% that's discussed in the American Revolution. At some point, I think we have to say, you know what? Enough is enough. So that's why I don't think we're going to see justice, true justice, no matter what some hopium-style thing is, you know, and you know what I'm referring to. Most of you. We're not going to see justice. I want to bring on my guest, and I apologize for going over, but I had to get this housekeeping out of the way. But this, nonetheless, this housekeeping sets the stage for my guest today, of course, if it's Wednesday, Dr. Richard Proctor. It's all about the Constitution. It's not even just about the Constitution. It's about saving the Constitution. Is it too late? No. It's never too late. If you're sucking air, if you're able to get around, if you're able to read, if you're able to speak, it's not too late. And I'll tell you what, Richard Proctor is a living example of that. I mean, he's 150 years old. Just about, oh, I don't know, 50 years older than I am. I'm kidding, of course. He's very, no, look at how active Dr. Proctor is in his speaking engagements. I could sing his praises all day long, but he's doing something. And we can all do something. I just went through a bunch of very important issues, didn't I? What is so? But I could spend 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours doing that a day, never touching on the same topic once. So what? What are we going to do about it? We need to do something about it. There's one way you can do something about it. Get informed. I had no idea. And I'll say this, and I'm going to bring Dr. Proctor on. I mean this when I say this. Let me see if, hang on a second. I'm looking around for my copy of my book, but Saving the Constitution, I had no idea, really, what I was missing in the Constitution until I read that book. And you may say, well, look, I don't need that book. I got a copy of my Constitution. No, you need the book. Now, he's not telling you that. I'm telling you that. I consider myself a reasonably intelligent guy. And yes, I took the Hillsdale College course on the Constitution. You know what that taught me? Yeah, it's a good course. Taught me about law. Taught me about the amendments. Taught about the amendments. Not about the Constitution itself. That's where the difference is. For less than the cost of a supper, you can have a book on the Constitution. You really need it. There's some surprises in there. I can tell you that right now. One more thing, and then I'm going to bring Dr. Proctor on. When you order your book on the Constitution, do me one favor. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com, WisconsinChristianNews.com. Do me a favor. Support these folks. Let's see. There it is right there. WisconsinChristianNews.com. Support them. Subscribe to Wisconsin Christian News. So, in fact, subscribe digitally and by way of the paper. Get the paper in your hand. And then when you do that, donate as well. Why? Because they're, I gotta tell you, the subscription price barely covers the cost of printing and mailing. So there you have it. Two things on your to-do list, WisconsinChristianNews.com. Second thing is ProvisInstitute.com, ProvisInstitute.com, Saving the Constitution. Oh, and while you're there, you think that's good? Look up Bathroom Economics. Look up the economics books. Look up the other books. Look up the Liberty Series. Got to tell you what, Liberty Series gives you what for. Tells you where it's at. All right. So enough of blowing the horn of Dr. Richard Proctor. I'm done. I'm going to bring him on. I'm going to go have a cup of coffee. Dr. Proctor, come on board. I'm leaving.
Okay, well, I'll take over. I don't mind. You can go somewhere. I got things to talk about. I don't know if I can do it, though.
Sure, you can. Nice. And thank you for your patience, by the way. I didn't tell you this yesterday when I talked to you. I apologize. I just had to get some things off. So I apologize for being late today.
Oh, that's okay. Things work out. They don't.
Okay.
By the way, I want to mention something. I'm not 150. I'm working on 200 the next time I go by. I'm older than dirt. Moses and I were buddies. Anyway.
Yeah, you know, you got spunk though. You're a spunky guy.
I keep involved guy with everything that I think needs to be involved in. I really do. Here's a subject for today that's very important.
Take it away.
A fellow by the name of John Mark is putting out videos now on YouTube about his Richmond, Virginia Declaration of Reclamation. Now, why do I know that? Because one of your listeners wrote me an email and said, I've got your book, Saving the Constitution, but we've got to do something. Why don't you look at this, John Mark, and tell me what you think about it? So I read, I did. That was this morning. I went through that in detail. I watched it. I watched all 20 minutes and I discovered something. John Mark and his Declaration of Reclamation will destroy the United States of America. Absolutely destroy it. They're going to write their own new updated constitution, which will make everything different. City states. He talks about city states. Do you know what city states are? City states are groups of people who decide that they're going to live together and conquer people next to them. So when he points out the city states of the big places where all the population is, man's nature, human nature, they're going to say, well, I don't have enough people here. I want to get some of those. And so they'll go take them. That's exactly what happened in the Middle Ages over and over and over again. All these wars fought so kings could have more subjects and more power. And that's what city states are. He wants to destroy all states. He wants to destroy everything to do with the Constitution. He wants to destroy the House of Representatives. But he says it's going to be we the people. Well, who's we the people if there's no House of Representatives to represent we the people? Then he says we're going to get rid of the Senate. We're going to still call it. It'll still be there. We're going to call it the governors will be there. So the governors will be governing us. So what does that mean? That means a small group of people will govern the country. They also said we've got to properly vet. We, catch the word, we've got to properly vet the presidential candidates so we can make sure we elect honest, good people. Who's the we? Who's going to do the vetting? Today it's being vetted every time. Never does a person get to be president, get to be up unless he's vetted by, one did. One, the man's called Donald Trump. He got up there without being vetted by the current vetters. The current vetters are the CFR. The elite, the people who are controlling our country, they vet every person that they allow through their area to become president. You got to get permission. Before Romney ran for president not too long ago, he had to go to the Bush farm in Texas and get permission. He had to stay there some time and he got vetted. You're also vetted if you publish articles in foreign relations, that bilateral, bi-monthly publication of the form of the Council of Foreign Relations. Folks, we are being the presidents that we've been able to select for the last, I'm going to say more than since Wilson. Phyllis Schlafly says that since Wilson, they've been chosen by the elite every time anybody runs. They're chosen. But Donald Trump got through it and he got chosen. He got elected by us. First president that's been not vetted by the powers behind the throne. And they're upset. They're going to destroy him. I see him haggard. Oh, he's being beat to death. Well, the we in this case is the leaders at the Richmond VA meeting on July the 4th, which, by the way, the location is secret, so bad people won't go there. They won't announce that until 2 days before. Look at all of the secrecy. Look at all of the if people really have something they want to talk about it. Don't hide, and they are hiding the best they can. But the reason that I'm mentioning this with gusto today is because this organization is trying to get all the right, all the Christians, all the good people to come and sign their Declaration of Reclamation, which will bring in a constitution that destroys our United States of America. Destroys it. He uses an illustration. We've got to do something. We've got to do something. Yes, we do. We have to do something. But if he would just spend the time and the effort and the money back in the original constitution, he could really be doing something. He talks about all the bad things that are going on. But if he knew what the Constitution says, he would know that all the bad things that are going on would be removed if we just used the Constitution itself.
It's we already have the handbook in place, that being the Constitution. The laws are in place, again, the Constitution. We don't have to reinvent anything. We have to go back to what the Constitution says. And people, you know what, Doctor, people say that, this is why your book is critical, and people will, obviously, they're going to say, oh, shut up about, you know, buying a book. I don't need a book. Well, no, you do, because otherwise, this is what we get. We get people with presumably good intentions, I suspect, but bad results would, I suspect, follow. I mean, that's in my view. So, you know, that's why we need to understand what it says.
Let me mention something here. People are constantly saying that the Constitution is out of date because they didn't face the things that we're facing today. I'm going to just say something here that nobody thinks about, but the Constitution is about human relations with one another. The Constitution keeps under control human relations. It isn't written because they didn't have phones and TVs and radios and all that kind of stuff in 1776. This is not out of date. But they did write about what human beings do to one another. And this document, coupled with the Declaration of Independence as the foundation, is the document to control the human nature of people. And the human nature of people hasn't changed since the first day somebody was. Okay? Adam and Eve. Human nature of people has been the same. Since then, this controls human nature. The Constitution is not out of date because human nature hasn't changed. Human nature wants power and control. So let's put this new Constitution in place, and let's have five or six huge city-states all by themselves doing what they want, their own social things, their own money, their own everything, and their own army, and their own human nature desire to control other people. And we got a bigger army than they do. Let's go get them. And that's what will result from this idea, this thought. He paints it beautifully. Well, the communists painted their picture beautifully too. The communists painted it through the late 19 teens, okay? They painted a beautiful picture of how this would be utopian. Everybody would be good, and they would, just for a few years, we got to have somebody in charge. But as soon as it all together, then the people that are in charge will back away, and the thing will be a utopia, freedom for everybody. And he's painting it like that. But it isn't like that. It will be just exactly like what happened after the Russian Revolution occurred and what happened to the Russian people. That's what will happen to our country if this kind of thing happens. So they want everybody to go there and sign this Declaration of Reclamation, and everybody gets started, all the right. If the left doesn't come, we don't care. He said, we want the right because they're the people on the right. Well, they are. But it's the Constitution we want to back, not some people that who think they're smarter than everybody else, that know that, that don't aren't considering the human nature of people at all. Because human nature of people is what the Constitution is about, not whether or not you have an iPhone, whether or not you have all these government, all these newfangled things, whether or not you have planes, whether or not you have computer, all these things are new that they didn't have then, but they did have human nature. And that's what they're trying to keep under control with this document. And it is not out of date. Neither are the Ten Commandments that came down out of Sinai. They are not out of date. Things don't change. Human nature's the same. Follow the Ten Commandments and you're in good hands. Don't commit murder.
That's right.
Don't commit murder. Well, I never commit murder, but my daughter had four abortions. What?
And I paid for them. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want you, that's my issue on these things. Guys, this is a circus that will destroy our country. Stay away from it and encourage everybody you know to stay away from it. Do not be involved in this thing because it's geared to put power in somebody else's hands. You get to go to Richmond and meet the leaders. The leaders? Who are these leaders? Oh, they're the good guys that know. Oh, the good guys that know. Another group of elite are good guys that know too. Well, the elite aren't really good guys that know. They're bad guys that know. Were these guys good guys that know? I don't know. But if they become dictators, they're not good guys that know.
Mm. You know, it amazes me how many people, and again, maybe the intentions are good, but the effort is misguided. And I'm not just talking about one instance or one individual, or I'm talking about, as you say, human nature. You know, so this is why I believe this is why it's so, your message is so important. This is why we drill down on this, is because we need, at least in my view, we need to stay the course with the foundational documents of the United States. And you know, the founding fathers, since you brought this up too, about the Ten Commandments, people will say, well, the founding fathers, they were deists. They might have recognized Jesus as our savior, or Jesus as a philosopher, or, you know, as an individual with, moral individual, but certainly not, you know, the Christian ethic or the Christian, Christian roots of the country. And I'm just curious, how do you respond to that? Because I get emails once in a while saying, "Oh, you elevate the founders, but they weren't really Christians. They didn't believe in Jesus Christ. But yet our Constitution looks like it follows the Ten Commandments." So, how do you respond to that?
Do you hear me growling in the background?
I was wondering if.
Well, pardon?
I was wondering if you had a tiger in your tank there, or if, yeah.
I do have a tiger in my tank. Okay. I am appalled at the people believing the revisionist history. The revisionist history. I want them to all go get 1984 and read that book. And the hero of 1984, that book, he is a job. His job in that big building he works in is revisionist history. Make every bit of history sound like what we want it to sound like today. Those men were stark Christians. They were God-fearing individuals. They believed in Christ. They believed in all the principles of Christianity. They were not deists. They were not people who were just there for the glory of it. They gave their lives, their honor, their sacred honor. They gave everything up to do this. They really did, you guys. No, remember something. There was another war with Britain after the Revolutionary War, which, by the way, was just a never mind that. There was another war, and in that war, people who signed the Declaration of Independence were castigated by the British. The people who signed the Declaration of Independence, almost all of them lost everything they had because of the British. Yet those two groups, those two documents, are the foundation of our freedoms. And anybody who says we got to move them away and put something new in place is misguided. Now, the individual who wrote to me, he said, we've got to do something, though. Well, in the conclusion of the book, Saving the Constitution, I have a five-step program to do something, not just sit back and do nothing, do something. And that something is get people in power in your state legislatures who are honest folk. And you got to figure out how to do that. Now, I explain it in the book. You do that by joining the Constitution Party because they're the only people trying to do it. But it's not, you know, everybody doesn't want to do that because it's not the thing of the du jour, the thing of the day. We got to do something else. Let's go join with somebody like Mark or somebody that's doing the Assemblyman or somebody else who's writing a new Constitution. Obviously, they're bright people. They know what they're doing. They're not changing the Constitution. They're using the Constitution, but they always change it. They always change it. Always.
Very, very true. Unnecessarily and to our detriment, too. Yes.
Yeah, you said it right. We're not just talking about one person. We're talking about all these people. Right. Now, I'm going to mention something again. Saving the Constitution. When you read that book, you will understand what the Constitution is all about. You will see the human nature behind it. You'll see the ideas, the program of getting people, getting the people involved in their government. That's what we need. And we can't do it if we don't know what the document says. I'll repeat it again. You can't fight against something you don't know about. You can't support something you don't know about. You can't do anything unless you know about it. Well, it's time we all knew about the Constitution. We say that those people in that aren't as educated as we are. Oh, balderdash. They read those books. They read the books written by Nathaniel Hawthorne. Have you ever tried to read one of the books written by Nathaniel Hawthorne? Wow. That's a challenge, but they could read them. They read the newspapers. They read what was going on. And by the way, the newspapers of those days weren't bought by people that wanted to control us. But they read the newspapers. They knew what was happening. They read the Constitution. They knew what was going on. They read the Declaration of Independence. They made copies of it and passed it around. And they didn't have a mimeograph machine either. People wanted to know. They wanted to know these things. They wanted to understand. Today, we just watch the TV and guzzle up what the media tells us. And the media lies. The media lies. So I talk to people. Oh, no, I don't ever do what the media says. No, 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 no. I just listen for local news. That's what I'm told. Yet those same people are now wearing masks and going home and staying 6 feet away from you and doing everything that the media that they don't listen to tells them to do. Oh, folks, we need to wake up to what we're really doing, what we're really saying. Oh, boy, am I on the high horse today.
Well, no, I want you there. You know what I found very interesting? You mentioned about the masks. There was a hearing yesterday. I think it was live on C-SPAN. I watched it, and there were people who – this one doctor was testifying about the virus. He spent, I don't know, and everyone was social distancing, whatever that is called, physical distancing. And they had masks on in this room. And, you know, anyway, this guy was testifying without a mask. And I figured, okay, that's good, great. Talking into the microphone. And as soon as he got done testifying in front of this council that was talking about the virus, he closed his book and puts on a mask. And I'm thinking, now, how much sense does this make? To anyone watching this, does that even make any sense? Doctor, am I too hard on? I mean, does that even make any sense?
Well, I had an interesting experience. I did go see a doctor this week who was talking about it, and I mentioned that this is a hoax. He got mad at me. He says, this is a real thing. I've witnessed deaths. I know. I'm in touch. I know everything that's happening. I know. Okay, if you know, how come the mask you're wearing has holes on the side? If you know, how come the mask you're wearing won't do the job that you're telling me is going on that's so bad? Whenever anybody wears a mask, look at it and see, does it have holes on the sides? Well, then it's not effective. You're not saving yourself anything. Is it made of cotton? Then you're not saving yourself anything. Does it have any filters? You're not saving anything. You're just living up to what the media has told you to do, what the government has said, and what all these people that are saying, oh, we've got to do it, we've got to do it, look at what they're wearing and what they're doing. If they're really in panic about what this is going on and they should be wearing masks that strapped to their faces, something that doesn't have holes on the sides, something that does have a filter, that would be what? Not just something somebody put across the front of their face like a bandana that the robbers wore when they went to banks. You know, those things that go on their face. That's it. That's one. That'll do it right there. That's the kind of mask that fastens to your face, seals to your face, fastens to your head. That would work. If that's not what they have, then they don't have anything and they don't believe what they're talking about. They don't believe what they're talking about. They're parroting the stuff du jour. You just picked it. That's the mask. Yeah. That's it. If it's not that, it won't work.
So who's going to be your new doctor now?
Well, I'll still go there, but I won't listen to that part.
You know, it's amazing how in the first part of this, in the first segment of the show, you know, to me, this was deployed, and I believe, Doctor, that this was a this was in fact tweaked by man. Whatever this is, this was tweaked by man. I believe that to be the case. All right, I believe the preponderance of evidence shows that. But you know, if you say that, people are saying, well, that's a bioweapon, and boy, it's an awful sucky bioweapon because it doesn't really kill people. It's only got a 0.26%.
Not doing its job.
Right. Okay.
It's not doing its job.
But
they should be dying by the thousands in front of you.
Right.
Go ahead.
But hold on a second. maybe its job wasn't to kill, destroy.
I understand that. Absolutely. Maybe. There's always a second nature to everything.
Yeah. Maybe it was just, you know, to screw up the economy. Maybe it was, maybe this is just the, you know, the first.
We,
yeah. Go ahead.
We have talked about the H-E-G-E-L, Hegelism. We've talked about that. The goal of the people who are trying to move the synthesis to their side isn't to do it at one time. It's to jump at something and then back away a little. Jump again, back away a little. Jump again, back away a little. And eventually we're there. That's what this is, the same thing. There's a purpose. The purpose isn't to save people's lives. It isn't the purpose. The purpose is to get more control.
That's it.
But they don't ever say that.
Yeah.
And we're being taught to be under their control because we're doing exactly what they want us to do.
Well, you know, and if I can impose upon you one more time, the first few minutes we're talking about this document, which is a Google and Apple privacy preserving contact tracing firmware update for Apple and Android phones. And one more time, folks, if you have an Android phone and if you have information about this, please send it to studio@HagmanReport.com, two N's on the Hagman. But anyway, so built into the updates, Dr. Proctor, is this interface.
You notice the word privacy preserving, the very first two sentences in it are privacy preserving.
Yeah, and it's
if
anything
privacy
but.
Is being preserved, why are they tracing us?
There you go. Yeah,
The minute they start tracing us, the privacy is not preserved. That sentence by itself says privacy preserving contact tracing is a circular reason it isn't true. That sentence isn't true.
Well, you're on target today, man. You're right. Yeah. I read through the first, what I could read of the 40 some pages of this document. And I've got to say this. This is a surveillance tool like no other. And by the way, Eric tells me that Apple and Google teaming up together, it's like black and white, oil and water, and not quite, you know, ostensibly.
Well, the people that are running both of those shows are a part of this elite, and they're already teamed up together.
Yep.
This is just another way to get people to accept the lack of privacy. Let's back up to Rail ID. In the middle 2000s, which, okay, by the way, we're being stuffed down our throats again today. But anyway, people, that was to control us. That's the purpose. That was what it was for, to put your information on a driver's license so that you could be controlled all the time. That's what it was for. All right. Now, somebody stood up against it, so they backed away. One of the states, several of the states stood up against it, and so they backed away. What did they do then? They came in and said, wouldn't this be convenient if your credit card had a code on it that all you had to do was tap or show it or hold it under something, and then you'd be okay. Whoops, more privacy. So they're making us think, oh, look at the convenience of having something like this to help us. And all it is another way to track you. Those chips were put on those credit cards to track you. That's the reason. That's the only reason it's there. They didn't need it for any other purpose. Oh, they say, oh, it's gonna have more security. It's gonna have more of this. It's gonna have more of that. No, it doesn't. Let's just take the 3-digit code on the back of your credit card. Oh, yeah, that's to give you more security. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's to just get us used to the government telling us what to have for security. That's all it's for. Everybody asks for it. If I try to buy something with my card, it reads that digit automatically in the chip or in the strip, whichever way it is. If I have to do something over the internet, I have to have that number, the 3-digit number. Why? Because it's really nothing more than 3 more digits on your credit card number. That's all it is. They've just added 3 digits to your credit card number. Nothing is safe. And any time the government is thwarted on one way, they'll do it another way. So they made something that said, the people in control, by the way, and they control the government too. But these people, they were thwarted by having this all this stuff on your driver's license. So they did it on your credit card. I'll be darned. And we're happy with that.
And debit card. By the way, a debit card which serves as a credit card, but it's connected to your bank account. And isn't that interesting as well? It's not, you know, the old Diners Club card. You're right. Yeah.
All the same. Let's just take let's just take navigation systems in your car. Oh, isn't that nice? Now, I like to have a navigation system. I think it's very helpful because I sometimes can't find addresses. But ConPick, I know what's going on. They're tracking me as I drive down the street. They know where I am all the time. The tracking system is another surveillance device. We're happy to have it. Yay! We're going to be watched again. We have a building here in Salt Lake County in Bluffdale. Huge, huge building with just one or two zettabytes. Just one or two of those. And they're tracking everything we do and say and everything that goes on with keywords and stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah.
This program is part of it, guys. I think you're referring to the NSA data collection center, right? Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Huge building. We're in a drought here in Utah, but they have all the water they want. They use millions of gallons to keep their computers cool and everything cool in their building. But we don't have water here to water our gardens.
Yeah, don't you dare wash your car or water. Yeah. No. Man.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it interesting? There's always money to do surveillance, and there always will be.
I have
a full section on surveillance, tracking the population in my volumes, a full section on what was going on when I wrote that. And all that is a pattern of what's going on today. So when you read that section, don't say, well, that's all done. That's gone. That's gone. No, it isn't. That particular item has been changed. Now it's drones or something else. But you can be sure that the next step is being done. All the volumes are supposed to do is help you know and identify what's happening in your future. They're not supposed to identify what happened in the past. I use the past to show the pattern. With the pattern, you now know what's going to happen again because you can watch for patterns. Watch for patterns. Oh, I'm getting all carried away today.
Hey. We're at the top of the hour. We're not going to take a break. We're going to bypass the break, but I just want to remind people, my guest is Dr. Richard Proctor. His website is provisinstitute.com. That's P-R-O-V-I-S institute.com. There it is on your screen. And the book that we're really highlighting is Saving the Constitution. Everyone within the sound of my voice, please, look, I don't ask much. All right. As a matter of fact, instead of buying a pound of coffee or a couple pounds of coffee, buy his book. And I'll tell you why. It's important that we understand the document that we're dealing with, that we deal with and we should deal with, not a proposed changed document, but a document that we deal with. And it's important to understand what it says. I could not have written this book. I read the book, and I'll tell you something. It really speaks to what the Constitution, how it applies today and how so far away from it we are. So if we go back to it, and it also, as you said, it does tell you how to save the Constitution, the proposal there. So, I'll just say this as well. I was surprised at the numbers. I'm just going to say this and then I'm going to shut up. I was surprised at the number of people. I know I have a pretty good handle on the listenership. I pretty much know who listens and who watches the program in terms of numbers. And,
you're stepping on my toes, Doug.
Take it away.
Okay. My next question after what you were just talking about, because everything we've been talking about leads up to this. How many listeners do you have, do you think?
Well, we have, I could tell you.
Just a guess.
Depending on, there's a wide swath. 75 to 150,000, period. It depends, but that's a really wide. People would look at me and say, those numbers don't even make sense. This is the purist out there because we're not on any kind of, what do you call it? Those things that, the books that come out that give you the numbers. We're not on any of those. So we have to do it other ways. So to answer your question, but I wanted to make sure because people are going to email in and send in and saying, oh, that's not true. Yeah, how can you say that? Well, it's between 75 and 150,000 per episode. And that's based on a number of different metrics. Go ahead, sir. Hopefully I get emails.
I understand. We do all kinds of stuff with economics and it's econometrics and it tells all kinds of stories, but there's no actual, you can't actually get the handle on what econometrics is about. But it does tell the statistics. Okay, I'm going to use I'm going to listen to your number. The low number you just gave me was 75,000 people. Now, I think that's a really good leadership, a listenership. What kind of people are these folks? Any ideas at all?
In terms of demographics, yes.
Yes, in terms of demographics.
Our base audience, the core audience, Christian conservatives, except those who listen to monitor, you know, monitor us for egregious violations, you know, such as, leave it alone. But
no, don't give examples.
Yeah. So Christian conservative, middle age, Christian conservative bias or leanings, and upwardly mobile in either middle class. I hate those words, middle class. Normal people. How's that? Like people like me.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, good. All right. Good. Now, I just did a calculation. Just for interest, for you and anybody else who's listening, I do numbers too. I keep track. We've distributed to what appears to be the membership of your organization, percentage wise, we've sold around 1,500 to 2,000 copies of the book to that group of people. That's the book Constitution. These are some of the outstanding citizens in the country. These are people who want to save this country. These are people who want to do something to save this country. These people are honest, true Christian folks, born-again Christians. These words mean something to these people. It's important. Yet, for less than the price of a dinner at the restaurant, they're not willing. This is only 0.02%. 0.02%, 1,500 out of 75,000, are not willing. Not only 0.02% are willing to take the time and a few dollars to learn this document. Now, the time is reading the book. The few dollars is just to get a little skin in the game, so you have some. The $20 is just so that you have some purchase that you've made, that you've taken some of your money and bought something that means more to you than if I handed it to you across the desk. If I hand it to you across the desk, you're going to throw it in the trash because it doesn't mean anything.
Good point.
But if you spend some of your hard-earned money, it does. Yeah. But we wanted to keep the price as low as possible so everybody could afford to do it. Now, in today's society, there's a possibility that there are those who cannot afford it. And so I'm working with Doug to try to put up a program that we can get the book to those who cannot. But those who can and haven't, are you really living up to your principles of wanting to save this country and wanting to do something? Now, I know that's kind of a bad thing to say.
No, but
that's
you.
What I feel like.
I didn't mean to overtalk you or interrupt, but thank you for saying that, because it's you know, I come in every day and I think, you know, what am I doing or what am I not doing? What should I be doing? And, you know, I mean, in addition to my prayer time, if you will, that aside, my work time, I'm thinking, okay, is there something I could do on today's program or with the program to advance, not just talk about problems, but, you know, solutions, and to advance the country, to make other people's lives better. And I mean that sincerely. I'm not trying to blow smoke up anyone's butt, but to make other people's lives better. What can I do? And this is one of the things I thought of. I thought, man, you know, we need to do something. We're in a position right now where, man, the Morse code, sending signals, we're in trouble. We're in trouble, doctor, and we need to get out of trouble.
Everything that we've talked about today for the last hour, everything that we've talked about for the last hour, or the last period of time, is problems that we're faced with. And why are we faced with those problems? Because we're not following the Constitution. This guy, Mark, he's pointing out all kinds of problems, and he's right. Those problems exist, and he's right. But the solution isn't to try to invent the wheel over again. The solution is to go back to the original round wheel that works, because it's interested in human nature, not today's date. Everything we've spoken about, would be fixed if we read the Constitution and understood it. When we read the Fourth Amendment, do people really understand what that Fourth Amendment says? I'm going to read the Fourth Amendment here, just for a quickie, right here. The right of the people to be secured in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Okay, now, that says bluntly that unless we have probable legal cause, your person, your house, your papers, your house will include car. They didn't have cars. Your house will include your car, your papers, your effects. Effects means everything you have, including your property, your private property, including where you, how you do your home, how you paint your seat, what trees you plant, everything. In other words, zoning violates this, most zoning violates this amendment. No one thinks about that. The right of the people to be secured in their persons, houses, papers, and effects. And even the simple thing like zoning, which we have come to expect, is a violation of that amendment. But we don't pay any attention because we don't know what it says. Now, I have to say, too, that the book that you're going to purchase, Saving the Constitution, is only 350 pages. So it can't go into every little detail of all the things that I've been saying on these, on all the places I talk to people. So I've tried to get everything there that's pertinent so you can see it. But you need to understand the right of the people to be secure means that. It doesn't mean unless. It doesn't mean secure, unless there's a pandemic. Oh no. It doesn't mean, unless there's something happening. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean if there's a flood in Las Vegas. I'm sorry, there won't be a flood in Las Vegas ever. There's a flood in what's that place? New Orleans. If there's a flood in New Orleans, they can come and confiscate your home and your wealth just because there's a flood. Doesn't say that. It says the right of the people to be secure will not be violated. And it describes the secure stuff. It doesn't mean that. That means that you're secure. And that means vaccinations. That means anything. No knock warrants? Come on. No knock warrants? That's not secure in your person. Not secure. That's against the Constitution. And we can go on and on all day today. If we fixed our country to the Constitution, we would be safe from all this garbage. Let's just talk about the riots that are going on all over the country now. They did it in Seattle. They won. They won, you guys. They won. They got an area there that they're autonomous. They call it autonomous.
Well, don't you they think had. The guys have- In case you didn't see.
Oh, has it been taken away?
Yeah. It, sadly, you know, the utopian existence there in that Chaz group was shattered by, a dead body and a raped woman. So the communist, in my view, mayor of Seattle said, we have to dismantle this because, of the violence. That moron, Muppet. Go ahead.
Had Seattle had a militia, properly trained and armed, the Seattle militia would be the state and the Seattle militia, because people in Seattle would belong to it. If they had had a militia, that would not have occurred. These people are cowards. The place, the city of Coeur d'Alene in Idaho showed us a visual presentation of what would happen if they had a militia. That's a constitutional concept, by the way. Militia is a constitutional concept. If it had a militia, those people would have gone home without touching anything, because that's essentially what they did. When the people with guns showed up, they went home. They'd been bussed in from Boise. They'd been bussed in from Spokane. Their goal was to turn Coeur d'Alene, Idaho into a mess. They went home because somebody just came along with weapons. Didn't fire anything, just came along with weapons. All they had to do, come along with weapons. We mean business here, guys. Oh, don't you want us to do this? I didn't understand that. Oh, well, if I'd have understood it, then I wouldn't have done that. Oh, of course. You lose your rights because you don't know you've got them. You lose your rights because you're not earnest enough to know about them. You lose your rights because you don't pay attention to what's happening around you. You lose your rights because you don't pay attention to history. You lose your rights because you're not interested. And we've got to cure that disease.
And yes, I totally agree. It really affected me when I was looking. I guess I'm going a little bit astray here, but when I was watching the Marxist rioters attempting to take down a statue of Andrew Jackson in Lafayette Park across from the White House, I'm thinking, man, you know, this has got to stop. So now I understand a statue is not the same. I understand, you know, a statue is an inanimate object and such, but it's what they're trying to do. And they're trying to erase our history and change our history, revise our history, erase our history. First the statues, then it's people. But anyway, that aside, it's what you said about the Fourth Amendment, about being secure in our homes. I think people would be interested to hear more about this because as well as how this ties into the militia, if it does or segues into the militia. But maybe I should ask you this, just in case people have missed this. Okay, so I'm here in my hometown of Erie, Pennsylvania. I want to start a militia. I don't know why, but I do. No, I know why. Because
you don't want your house torn apart.
Exactly. That's right. I happened to catch, an episode at 5 o'clock this morning on METV, Broderick Crawford, Highway Patrol. And of course, the opening there is some, anyway, the militia word was in there, the word militia. And by the way, it's got a bad rap. The word militia's got a bad rap, as you had mentioned off air to me. But, so I want to start a militia. Now, there's a couple of ways to go about doing it. There's really the proper way, and that's to tell the government, right? Why don't you walk me through this? Walk me through what I need to do.
Let's start right from the Constitution itself, and let's walk through it.
All right.
Remember, the Constitution itself was written to enforce, put in place the rules outlined by the Declaration of Independence. Very important. That's the very, very first one. The Declaration of Independence is an inspired document outlining what we should have as a government for, what the government is for. Now, I know that most of the Declaration of Independence just talks about what the king was doing and England was doing against the colonies, and that's most of it. But that's just the rationale for having it, okay? What it wants to establish, what the Declaration of Independence wanted, what it really establishes is in the first paragraph or two, where it says inalienable rights and talks about inalienable rights, which means God-given rights, okay? That's where it starts. Then the Constitution was the next step to formulate how we were going to get those God-given rights into our country. Okay, now, these gentlemen sat down in that room, in a very hot room, and debated back and forth what to do and how to do all these things, how to keep these rights. And they were faced with soldiers in their homes. They were faced with all kinds of stuff. And they wrote down a lot of things that are required by government. But they said to themselves, just a minute, now we got to put some controls on this government. We, the colonies, are autonomous organizations. We do not want to give up our power to somebody else to dictate. So they were very careful, as they wrote, to ensure that this next thing they were establishing wouldn't become a dictator. Okay? So they began to list things that this government could do. And if you want a good listing, easily read, of what this government could do, you go to Article 1, Section 8, and read those 18 paragraphs. 18. The 15th one says, Congress is to provide for calling forth the militia, to execute the laws of the Union. The laws of the Union, those are only laws that are in accordance with the Constitution. And Article 6 defines laws that are not in accordance with the Constitution are null and void. I will read Article 6 again. The Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuant to the Constitution. Okay? I'll just stop right there because that's what we're talking about.
All right.
So the laws that they mention in paragraph 15 are the laws pursuant to the Constitution, which is the foundation or the implementation of the Declaration of Independence. Okay? Now, the laws of the Union suppress insurrection, which means suppress things that are happening in the country that are violations of our rights. Okay? And repel invasions. That means people from foreign countries that are coming to destroy our rights. Now, that's what 15 says. Call forth the militia. And the militia's job is to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. That's what the militia's for. Now, interestingly enough, in the next paragraph, it describes how the militia is going to work. This is the only one that has two paragraphs together like that that do that so specifically. 16 says, to provide for organizing the militia. Now, the Congress is to provide for organizing it, which just means the steps to do it. The states are going to do it, by the way, because we go right here to the Second Amendment, and we read the very first few words, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, which meant Virginia, Massachusetts, New York, and it's kept. That's what that means, which also goes to mean Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas. Okay? Now, to provide for organizing the militia in those states, arming, I'll be darned, the government's going to arm it. That means arms of today. Discipline, the government is going to provide for disciplining the militia and for governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States. You see, it can be employed in service of the United States also. We don't have a standing army. That's another one of these items. We don't have a standing army. We have a navy. You see, paragraph 12 says, to raise and support armies on appropriation of money, but no longer than 2 years. The term no longer than 2 years. That means 2 years. It doesn't mean 2 years, two, for 50 of them, which is 100. Doesn't mean that. It means 2 years. Okay? So we don't have existing armies. We have existing navy. Next paragraph, to provide and maintain a navy. You see, we've got an army provided. We've got a navy provided. Then we get down, naval forces is mentioned in 14. Then we get down to militia. You see the three right there together. Armies, when necessary. Militias can be a part of the army or can be the army. Maintain a navy. That means Marines too, because that's a part of the navy. Make rules for the government of the land and that's the Congress, is to make rules for the government and regulation of the land and naval forces. You see these four paragraphs. And in 16, it's telling us what we're going to do with the militia. They're going to provide for organizing it, arming it. That means money to arm it. Okay. That's what the Constitution itself says. Now let's get down to
Before you continue. Yes. You said some very important things there that I think might have gone over the heads of some people.
I talked too fast?
No. The standing army business, part. Interesting. Yeah. I wonder how many people – see, again, saving the Constitution, it's in there. But go ahead. That was one example.
Good. I'm glad you point that out because saving the army is very good. You notice I'm bouncing back and forth in the Constitution itself to reference things that are all being talked about here in Article 1, Section 8, paragraphs 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. But the militia is in 15 and 16.
And if I can say this, your book, Saving the Constitution, acts like a concordance, like a Bible concordance, as one would have a concordance for the Bible. This is, in my view, a concordance to the Constitution. Okay, sir, go ahead.
Oh, I never thought of that, but that gives it more credibility. Concordances of the Bible are important.
Oh, of course, yes. but I mean, I like how you.
Right. I know. I'm just picking up on stuff. Having a good time. Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Now let's carry on now. Now let's look at the real world in the United States in 2020. Are we in 2020? Yeah, 2020. Okay. We're going to look at the real world. The real world is we don't have any militias because the federal government stopped authorizing or talking about them after the Civil War. The Civil War was fought with militias. Okay. The Revolutionary War was fought with militias. The War of 1812 was fought with militias. But after the Civil War, we didn't do that anymore. There is an interesting thing that was brought up to me the other day by Kevin. He said the New Hampshire militia has never been disbanded. It's still there. Maybe we should just activate it. I'll bet that all 13 of the colonies' militias are still there. They just need to be activated. But there isn't one out here in Utah, and there isn't one in Pennsylvania, and there isn't one in North Dakota. Okay? So, you need to have them. But they haven't done them. Now we're reaping the results of not having done it. Insurrections. Nobody to repel them. A police force can't repel it. An insurrection is not enough people there. It's to take care of crime. And there's a statistic about how much crime there is. But it isn't equipped to take care of an insurrection. Well, let's go back to the Constitution. That's the purpose of the militia. So every community, the state should be organizing a militia. It's a state militia. That's what it says, Article Amendment 2. The security of a free state, you see, a militia, well-regulated. That means armed and trained. An armed and trained militia is necessary for the security of a free state. That's not talking about hunting deer or fishing. That's not talking about going out and hunting bear. That's talking about a free state. A free state means the colonies, means Virginia. They said, we want a militia to protect ourselves against some other force that's trying to take over our state. And the oath is always foreign and domestic. And everybody just passes over the word domestic. We're in it. We are in it. We're getting the result of not following the Constitution. If we followed the Constitution, every state would have a state militia that was regulated and armed. And what would they be armed with? The most modern weapons available. Okay? That's what they'd be armed with. Now, here come the bad guys. Well, the militia's there. The militia is the people. They're all a part of the militia. They know what to do. Even if they're not called out, they have the weapons. They know what to do. They're all the same. How many people? The militia is to be comprised of 1812 dictionary. The militia is to be comprised of every able-bodied man. That's what it says. So let's do a militia. All the able-bodied men in the center of Seattle would have their guns and there would be a part of the militia. And those guys wouldn't even have showed up. Because they'd have known these dudes will shoot us. They wouldn't even have showed up. So Seattle wouldn't have a problem today.
There it is.
And that exists in every city in the Union right now. Not just Seattle. Oh, we're going to go take it over. The mayor whose house was ravaged, so she decided to do something about it. Before that happened, she didn't care much. Interesting, isn't it? That's going on all over the country, too. Mayors and governors are giving in to these people, and then they don't give in enough, so these people go ravage their homes because they didn't do enough. You see what I mean? They're prescribing how we're going to live our world, how we're going to live our lives. It's an insurrection. They're taking over the country, but we don't have anybody to suppress it. Now, the state of Utah would have a militia somewhere near 800,000 strong. The federal government.
Based on age.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right.
800,000 strong, something like that. Population, okay, every able-bodied man. I suspect there'll be a lot of women that are able-bodied too, aren't there? Oh, yes. I bet you there's a lot of women out here listening that have guns and know how to use them. I call that able-bodied. So here we are. It wouldn't just be 800,000. It would probably be 1 million too. We have 3 million people in our state. So here we go. That's the militia size. A federal government doesn't have an outstanding army of that size anymore. But the state of Utah would. And if every state had it, it would be the biggest army in the world. Nobody would bug us.
And you make a good point. You know, we talk here about potential invasion from outside forces and how this country could be weakened. But if we go back to the Constitution for militias, my goodness, we wouldn't have anything to worry about.
That's right. Nothing at all. I don't know this for a fact, but I have been told that the Japanese didn't come here after Pearl Harbor because everybody had a gun and knew how to use it. Well, if we had militias, more people would have guns, more people would have, and everybody would know we have militias, so they wouldn't come. They wouldn't come.
No. And by the way, real quick, for those people who don't know this, April, May, the biggest gun sales in really the history of our country, I think 3.5 million, if I'm not mistaken, guns.
Excellent. I'm sure glad. Yeah. I'm sure glad because we're becoming better armed, but we're not regulated yet. We're not organized yet. You see, we're a mob with guns. We got to be organized. Okay, so the state should be doing that. Federal government doesn't provide for it. Then the state, all the state representatives held up their hands and said, we will support and affirm the Constitution of the United States. Support and defend the Constitution of the United States. They all did. So therefore, they have an obligation to the Constitution. Since Congress has reneged in its responsibility, the state must take the place and do it anyway. But the states have reneged too. Now's the time when the state should organize one. They could do it in one day. What could they do? They could meet in an emergency session one day, say all the communities of the state are authorized to have a militia. Done. But they don't do it. Now we're down to the people. We've already messed up the Constitution. We haven't done what the Constitution says. The Constitution doesn't say the communities can go and do it. But the Declaration of Independence does. It says if the government is not providing, the government is not providing for your inalienable rights, then you have a responsibility to alter or abolish that government. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to go down and abolish the state government and the federal government. I'm just saying that that gives us the right to protect our inherent rights. The Declaration of Independence gives us that right and responsibility. So all of a sudden, it can devolve down to the city, the state, and to the community. But we need to have some authority from the government. We don't want to be a mob with guns. So then those people who want to have that militia and they think it's important enough need to wander down and show up at the place called City Council, at the place called the City Hall, and hundreds of them show up with their guns. Maybe they don't want to bring them, but they show up. These people show up and say, we want a militia and we're here to sign up. Where's the paperwork? We ain't going home until we do. We want to protect our city. That's what we, now there's action, folks. If you want action, there it is. We want to go down there. We want to follow the Constitution and we want to be able to protect our city. Nobody else cares, but we do. Now, organize us. Put us in an organization. Those people will sit there not knowing what to do. So there are going to be some military people in that. And they're going to say, folks, we'll organize it. Just give us authority to do it. And that many people standing there, not going home. You know, if you don't go home, you're there after hours. They're not going to stay after hours. 5 o'clock, you don't vacate the building. You just stand there. Whoops. 6 o'clock, you're still standing there. You're going to get the police to run you out. Some of the policemen will be in the group. And besides, they still don't have but 6 or 8 policemen. They don't have enough to rout out all those folks. But they won't want to do that because that's not right. They won't want to rout out the citizens of their city. So they'll give you permission to do it. They'll set it up. But it takes action. Again, what's the action we're going to do? We're going to go down to the city hall and insist on a militia for our community based on the Declaration of Independence because the federal government and the state government have abrogated their responsibilities to the Constitution. We are then going to, based on the Declaration of Independence, protect our inalienable rights as specified in the Declaration of Independence. You see the importance of these two documents? They were both inspired. They worked together hand in hand. That's how you do it.
Very well
laid out. Don't say it can't be done. Don't say it can't be done, because if the people want it, it'll happen. And the only way it'll happen is if people want it. If you don't want it, well, then just wait. They'll show up. What Seattle is also doing. No, that's not Seattle. This is Minnesota. Minnesota? Yes, I think it's Minnesota. Come on, what's this? The company, the city that has banned, deregulated, destroyed, done away with the police force.
Minneapolis, that's right.
Minneapolis. Yeah. Those people said, the city council, and they went unanimously, no more police force. The community, the people could protect their own community. What? You mean I can stand here with a gun and protect my home? Is that the plan? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Shoot the criminals that come? Shoot the rapists? Shoot the people who are going to ransack my place? Is that what I'm supposed to do individually? Come on now. You're going to come and arrest me with the non-existent police force and take me to jail because
who's going
to
arrest you? Who's going to arrest
me? That's right. Who's going to arrest me? So I'm going to stand there with my gun and I'm going to protect my property. No, that's not right. That's not the right way. These people are going off half-cocked and destroying their own ability to do something. Not only did, here's another stupid thing. Seattle, back to Seattle again. The city council banned use of tear gas and other kinds of non-lethal methods. They banned those things. So now what are they going to do? Stand out on the street and yell at them? We've got the stupidest people in town because they're afraid. They're afraid of the people. They're afraid of these groups. They are afraid. So they cotton to them until their house is ravaged. Then they don't cotton to them anymore. Oh, but they don't care when my house is ravaged, just theirs.
Exactly.
Oh, no. Did I say that? Oh, my. I'm carried away today, guys. The Constitution.
Shame on you.
Right now, I'm going to say it again. If you don't know your Constitution, you don't know these things.
But you know.
You can't.
Look, I get it, but you're going to have people who say, well, you know, you've got people like Pelosi and others. They pee all over the Constitution. They, you know.
I don't care. I don't care what they do. I care what I do.
Okay.
Go ahead. Right.
No, I guess that's the answer. What do we do about the people who disregard, especially in leadership, who disregard the Constitution? And the answer is in the Constitution. We get them out.
Yeah, we don't reelect them. How come we're electing 90% of the incumbents? Just answer me that.
Yeah.
Let's take Nancy Pelosi. She is abhorring the Constitution of the United States.
Yes.
Will not accept it. It's out of here. You know who the third person in line for the presidency is?
It'd be Nancy Pelosi. Yep.
And that young lady will think the Constitution is the greatest thing in the world if the vice president and the president are gone.
Of course. Well.
But while they're there, she didn't care.
A weaponized version of the Constitution as she sees it.
Oh, yeah. She'll like that because she sees that she can have the job.
Right.
It's my job now per the Constitution. Therefore, I want it. Ah, what? Yes, that's how it works.
So, okay. Now, I took you – now, thank you for addressing the militias on this because, again, that was one of the issues that I got a lot of emails on and people wanted to really be certain of that. So thank you for addressing that. So, again, you know, we're seeing things happen in Seattle and all across the country. Last night, Madison, Wisconsin, destroying – by the way, destroying statues it was a Christian Haig statue. A guy was a anti-slavery guy. There were some other people and beat the heck out of a progressive liberal, Wisconsin congressman outside of the Capitol. And the police, by the way, waited until everything was done and then they came in to clean. So I say that because this is what we're dealing with now. And but you've got the answer. And one of the answers, and that's the militias. But is there – okay, so I'm going to back up here and let you continue wherever you want to go because, I mean, you're on a roll. So let me just
– I understand there's going to be problems. Nothing is easy. Okay, folks? Nothing is easy. Let's talk about the color of law for a minute. Same subject, the color of law. You've been violated – your rights have been violated by a government official, so you take him to court. What court? A federal court. Which one? Here's the problem. The dishonesty that our judicial system is rife with will ignore it because they want this anarchy. They want these things to happen. You gotta find the right judge. Isn't that terrible that you have to find the right judge? It's supposed to be blind. It's supposed to be blind. It's supposed to take justice for everybody. But they don't. They take justice for their own ideas. There's 3,500 federal justices. 435 representatives of the people. There's a balance for you. And then we find of the 3,500 justices, most of them are with the evil people. Most of them are with the evil people. They try to destroy. They've tried to destroy Trump every way they can. So there's the problem with the color of law. But you still got to do something. You still got to let people know. You still have to do something. But
wait a second. Hang on. I want to be clear on this. So there's 3,500 federal judges and magistrates. Is that what you're saying?
Yep, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Nominated by the president, appointed by Congress, not elected. Go ahead.
I just didn't know that. I didn't realize there was so many.
Yeah, there's 1,000, 3,500. Now, that number comes from David Knight, who did the research for that number.
Okay.
He's the one that told me that. Yep, he told me that number. I was on his show one day, and we talked about that, and he said that to me. 3,500 federal judges, 435 representatives. So now I repeat that number all the time because I have confidence that he is right.
Yeah, that's top heavy or imbalanced. Yes. Imbalanced.
They're all federal judges, all appointed for life. Think about that for a minute. And only for good behavior, but nobody pays any attention to good behavior. So here we have judges, anarchist judges, which I talk about in volume 6. You see, I talk about the anarchist judges in volume 6 that worked on trying to destroy Trump's presidency in the first 6 months of his presidency. They did. They tried. They tried to bring him down. The federal judges tried to bring him down in the first 6 months of his presidency. So I bring that up, a significant section about that. And activist judges against the law.
Okay. I want to put a caveat here. This, according to Wikipedia, U.S. federal judge. Now, there's a difference between a judge and a magistrate. I know that, some coexist or generally, depending on the area, but in the U.S., the title federal judge means a judge pursuant to Article 3 of the United States Constitution. Gee whiz. Isn't that interesting? Title or Article 3 of the United States Constitution.
Interesting to bring it right up, huh?
Yeah, first sentence, nominated by the President of the United States, confirmed by U.S. Senate pursuant to appointments clause in Article 2 of, guess what, the U.S. Constitution. Very interesting, but this goes on to say that there's currently now not 3,500, although I'm going to put that number aside for a moment. I think there was, it said 870, there are currently 870 Article 3 judgeships, 9 on the Supreme Court, 179 on the Courts of Appeals, 763 for the District Courts, and 9 on the Court of International Trade. I'm not seeing any numbers for magistrates, so maybe that's an aggregate number. I don't know, but there you have it. Or maybe it's...
Okay, there's some numbers from that location.
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't put the 3,500 out. So it's only 800. Oh, my laws. Double the number of representatives we have in Congress.
Yes. Yes. At least. Yeah.
And David Knight may be incorrect with the number 3,500, or Wikipedia, which is written by people that we don't trust,
yeah,
also may have made a mistake.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I kind of look at it like this. If it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, walks like a duck, it must be a duck. If you go through Wikipedia closely, you'll discover all kinds of liberal ideas put forth as a fact.
You got that right. Yeah. And, you know, again, 3,500, I think there's like 3,300. How many counties in the United States? 30 some odd?
3,300. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So, you know, I don't know what that number would entail, but nonetheless, you've got more, a whole boatload more federal judges. And I would say even additional magistrates, federal magistrates for every district court in the United States than you do, members of Congress. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And it's top heavy. And none of those people are accountable to the people. None of them are. None of them are. And they're all in there for life. And none of them are accountable. And no, and neither of those two sentences should be correct with that much power of the federal government overruling the states.
But, you know, again, folks, we're talking about saving the Constitution. The book, provisinstitute.com, is where you get the book. And you just heard what I said. I just described it. Article 3, United States Constitution. Okay. It's all references to the U.S. Constitution. I'm not going to bring it back up here, but there you go. So saving the Constitution is what you need. Provis Institute is where you go. That's P-R-O-V-I-S Institute.com. It's right there on your screen, or it'll be in the program description box where at HagmanReportLive.com. And get yourself the book before the night is out, and I'll give you a cookie. Okay, go ahead.
I hope more than 0.02 are paying attention.
I hope
0.02. Now, I want to talk about something else. We've really beat this to death. I have a request from one of the listeners.
All right.
On the Doug Show, you've talked about not ever touching your gold and silver. How do you use it then? That's his question. How do you use gold and silver then if you're not going to use it, not going to touch it? Think about this for a minute, guys. I'm going to go back to the Revolutionary War. I'm going to go back to the script that people had to buy things after the Revolutionary War. And the revolutionary soldiers were told were paid by a government script, which they used to wallpaper their houses because it was worthless. The only people who had any money were people who had gold and silver. They're the only people who could survive. They're the only people who could pay their debts. They're the only people who could buy products. Those who had gold and silver.
And that's
gold
special.
And silver.
I joke because I get that question too, and I'm so glad you addressed that. So gold and silver, not to talk over you or to extend it. I just want to say that again, thank you for addressing this topic because sure enough, I guarantee tonight there'll be emails. And, so gold and silver, that's real money.
Right. Okay. That's real money. Yes. We've made it to be real money. Okay. We've made it out. It is real money. Now, what do you do with it then? What's it for? It's for your future, not for your current. If you sell your gold and silver because the price goes up and down, just try to make money, you're not using it as gold and silver. You're not using it as currency, as wealth, as preservation of wealth. You're using it as a commodity. You might as well buy corn and any of the other commodities, oil, all of them. You can treat all of them that way. And they are on the commodity market as commodities, yes. But you don't treat them that way. If you get your hands on some gold and some silver, don't tell anybody, you have it, and keep it, because the day will come when you need it. And if you just trade it off for a couple more dollars, you're not using gold and silver properly. It is not really a commodity for investing. It's a future investment. Keep it. Don't ever get rid of it, and don't ever tell anybody you got it.
And you'll know when to use it.
Yes, you'll know when. You'll know when. And if you have, let's just say you have raw gold that you got out of a mine. Don't tell anybody you got it. Just keep it. And they're saying you're a placer miner. You're going to find gold. Keep it. Nobody knows you've got it. Don't tell anybody you've got it. Doesn't have any value at that point. You don't have to pay taxes on it because it isn't established as a taxable item. So you just don't have to pay it. Okay. You don't have to pay taxes on gold and silver that you mine. On your own mind, unless you sell it or use it, then you have to pay taxes on it. But you don't have to pay taxes on it at that point.
That's
the point
that
it's still
habit.
Just an inventory.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay taxes. But you keep it. You just keep the stuff and you don't tell anybody. Because if you tell people, somebody that you tell will tell somebody you tell, just told to somebody, and that guy will come and get it for you with the end of a gun.
And that goes for food, firearms, anything of value.
Everything. Yes.
Yeah.
Stop bragging.
That's right.
Stop bragging. Stop bragging about things. If you want to invest in commodities, don't use gold and silver. Use corn. What do they call them?
Pork bellies.
Pork bellies. That's what I'm thinking of. pork bellies, oil, corn, all these things. Use them. The futures market is full of stuff you can invest in. Just don't use gold and silver. Keep it.
And if
you get gold and silver, make sure you got the stuff in your hand. I got it in my hand. I can see it.
Thank you.
Don't buy stock in a gold mine and say you've got gold. Don't put gold in somebody else's vault and say you got gold. Don't buy gold from somebody who's selling you the gold and says they'll keep it for you. Don't buy it. Get it in your hand. Of course, if you go to that person and you say, okay, I'll buy gold, but I'll keep it. He won't give it to you, but, you know, why won't he give it to you? Because he's selling it dozens of times.
Exactly. That's why. Exactly. Why? Yep.
It said there's over 100 ounces of gold for every real ounce of gold.
Can you
100 ounces?
Can you imagine if everyone wanted delivery of their gold and silver at the same time? Oh my goodness, there'd be a problem, wouldn't there? That'd be worse.
Yes, what would happen to the price? The price of gold would go through the ceiling. And the gold you have would become so valuable, you'd want to trade it in. Don't do it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've talked to people who have purchased gold at $40 an ounce and, you know, and 35 and 12 or 14, whatever the low was. And,
35.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the highs and lows. To me, hey, if it was a good price, if it was a good buy at, you know, $40 an ounce, silver, that is, it's even better buy at 15 or whatever it might be. So, you know, and the way I look at it is, like you do, it's an insurance and if you'll know when you'll need to use it. I think it'll be clear, especially if you own it, you'll know when to use it. So, all right. That's good.
Yes.
You'll
know when to use it.
Yeah, we got about 9-10 minutes left. It always goes so fast when you're on. Whatever you want to cover in the remaining time, please cover, address in the next 9 minutes.
Okay, well, I did just now cover the gold and silver. That's what I wanted to address.
All right.
I would like to address the thing you brought up in the first of it today. When the general stood there and said, since there are foreigners in these protesters, that gives us the right to use the U.S. military. No, it doesn't. He forgot his Constitution. No, it doesn't.
Oh.
Constitution doesn't say a thing about that. Constitution says there shouldn't be a military anyway, but it doesn't say anything about that. It's foreign invaders, and that's the militia, by the way, and insurrectionists. That's what it talks about. It doesn't say that we can do it because there are foreigners in the group. It doesn't say anything like that. That is not constitutional. And I guarantee you, if you allow the U.S. military into your city, into your state to protect you, the likelihood that they're going to go away is low. Let me give you an illustration that you can all relate. That's absolutely true, and you can all relate to it. In 1980 and 1990, they did have people looking at reviewing your luggage and stuff like that. Not as much as they did after the 2011, but they did keep some security. After the towers went down, they began to beef it up. But it was done by the airlines I may have my dates wrong here, but the first part was done by the airlines and the airports. Then the government decided it had to be done with government officials, TSCs or TCAs or something like that.
TSA.
The guys who tell you whether you can, TSA?
TSA.
Whether you can get on a plane now? They're government. They're federal government officials. Do you realize you can't get those out of your airports now? They're there to stay. You used to have control over it. Now the federal government has control over it. That's an illustration of what will happen if you invite the federal troops to control your environment. And that means National Guard also. They've never done it. They've never stayed, but could be today, could be the time. You don't want federal troops, and the Constitution doesn't allow it, and it's not an excuse. It's the excuse is to form your militias. That's the excuse. Do that. That's what he should have said. Form your militias. Protect yourself. Not send in government troops. I don't care what rank he had. I don't care if he's a private. I don't care if he's a 4-star. The Constitution overrides that.
You know, thank you. Thank you for correcting me on this.
Well, I didn't mean to correct you. I mean to correct him.
Well, I'm glad because I would have almost applauded. And, you know, again, look, I feel I'm pretty learned. You like that word, learned? Pretty intelligent, but I didn't put that. I was thinking foreign threat on, and he said, no. And it's unconstitutional. Thank you for that. Because yes, you know what? I'm going to do, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to order a book, Saving the Constitution, and I'm going to send it to, Eric Phillips, the reporter. I'm serious. I'm going to have it sent to yes. Eric Phillips, the reporter of CBN News. And, we need to get this out there. Interesting. Thank you.
We need to get it out. We need to get it all over the place. This, I know I wrote it, but it's the most important book we have today out in the lexicon of books.
I think so.
The most important book we've got is that one. And I've got to figure out a way to get it to people that can't afford it too. So we're going to have to work that out.
Yes. And that's very generous of you.
We've got to everybody.
And thank you for doing that. And folks, that just shows you the heart of Dr. Richard Proctor. It's not about selling books. I mean, it's about selling books because you need the information, but it's about the information. All right. So, and again, you know, going back to it, it's like, well, why do I need this? I have the Constitution. Well, I'll tell you what. You have a Bible. You have a concordance. Okay. You know, there it is. In my view, this is kind of how I look at it. So, and even, you know, thank you for catching that. Almost my applauding that general when in fact, yeah, that's not constitutional. And you're right.
Yeah. You remember Rome? Rome, the generals never brought their armies into Rome. It was outlawed. You couldn't do it. That's the same. You don't bring your armies into the United States either as armies.
Okay. And that kind of segues into the Fourth Amendment as well. Right.
Oh yes, it does.
Okay.
Yes, it does. Mm. Segues in the Fourth Amendment. Those guys will come. If they're there, they may stay. They may stay. The TSA guys in the airport stayed.
We got to get them out of there, by the way.
Yes, we do. We need to get it back to the airports. Oh, by the way, if the people would organize their states with legislature that would follow the Constitution, and I've talked about that before. Legislatures that will follow the Constitution means constitutionalists, and you know what that means. Now, if we had that legislature, they could tell the TSA to go home. We could nullify them. They can't be here. It's our property. Be gone. Yes, they could.
See how that works?
They could nullify all these parks that they've stolen the government from. The government has stolen from us. Do you realize that the Constitution is very clear? The government cannot own any piece of ground except the District of Columbia. That's
yes.
10 miles square. That's all.
Yep.
And they even had to ask Virginia and Maryland for that. But if they come to your state and say they want to make a park, a monument, anything, they have to go to the legislature and get permission and then pay for it. It says it right here. I'll read it. It says it right here. Article 1, Section 8. Again, we're back to, this time we're in paragraph 6, 17. Article 1, Section 8, paragraph 17. Here it is. You can all get your books out. It's very nice. 17. To exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 miles square as may by cessation of particular states and acceptance of Congress become the seat of the government. Okay, that's the definition of District of Columbia. The next thing it says, to exercise like authority over all, oh, I got the paper clip in the way. Over, I'm going to read it exactly. Over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be.
We are at the end of the program, but I got to tell you, that gives new meaning to Clint Eastwood, Clint Eastwood saying, get off my lawn.
It does, doesn't it? Yes.
Get off my lawn. And with
you know,
that,
I never have enough time, Doug.
I know, but we're going to have you back Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Buy the book, Saving the Constitution. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. That'll do it. I want to wish everyone a very, very good night. Thank you so much for your support, your continued support. Thank you. Thank you to everyone. Hagman's.